Again, good morning, and a welcome to our guests. We do thank you for joining us. This morning, we're going to take a look at a text in which the Apostle Paul tells us about the gospel of Jesus Christ, who it is intended for, and we will see also how he was called or how he was put into his position. And his position being that of apostle to the Gentiles. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about this week. I got back and I had to get Cheryl a text because I was late. And I understand that today is usually the day I would talk about the baptism of Jesus. Hence the banners. But we're going to talk about an Epiphany text, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, to us. And because he has revealed himself to us and has saved us also, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today does come from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Reading in Jesus' name. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to intend that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with him, confidence by the faith of him. Amen. Now again, Epiphany is a time that we come together and we remember that Christ came not just as a Messiah for the Jews, but a Messiah for mankind. And Paul starts this text out for this reason. And really, we got to go back into chapter 3 and find out, well, what is this reason? And in chapter 2, and he says in chapter 2, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, in talking about Jesus, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So really, we have to understand now, he is talking to the Ephesians. The Ephesians are not Jews. They aren't part of the holy people, the chosen people. And that's why we're here today. Because Paul proclaimed this to the Gentiles, to the people who weren't supposed to hear the message, to the worldly people, to the evil ones. And he starts out with, "For this reason, because this has happened, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ on behalf of you Gentiles." Now Paul understands what being a prisoner is. He was thrown in jail. He was beaten. And he was asked to testify in front of many different magistrates and judges. And he was ultimately killed. But he calls himself, "I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus." And actually, by our best estimates, he was in prison when he wrote this. He wasn't a prisoner for anything other than Christ himself. And he knew this. And that's really what he tells the Ephesians, that I'm here on your behalf, you as Gentiles. You see, the Jews at this time did not think anything of the Gentiles. If you were not Jewish, God couldn't speak to you and wouldn't speak to you, according to them. God certainly wouldn't reveal himself to you, because you were just too evil for God to deal with. And yet, within the Psalms, and especially within the prophet Isaiah, God had already told the Israelites that the Savior would come and reveal himself to the world. And we already see at the beginning of Jesus, right after his birth, that God has revealed to these three wise men to come and to worship him. And they were not Jews. They came from another country. Now the reason I bring all this up is the same reason that I brought it up to the Sunday school. Because sometimes we have a habit as Christians of stepping in to the same problems that the Jews had. We start to think that God and Jesus Christ is only for us. And this is a problem. We start to think, well, look at those people out there. And it becomes an us versus them thing. God is not against people who are sinners. God is not against people who are worldly. God is not against murderers. God is for all people. You see, Paul came to a city and writes this letter to a city where there was all kinds of sin. Ephesus being a very big hub of commerce, also had all the other religions, all the nasty pagan practices that went on within those religions. And yet, Paul calls himself a prisoner for Jesus Christ on behalf of you, Gentiles. And then he goes on to explain how he ends up in this position. "Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly." Now this is very interesting. "Assuming you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace." Now, if we understand stewardship, stewardship refers to a steward who was responsible as a servant for dealing out the goods and in charge of the goods of an estate or a household. Paul calls himself a steward of grace, of God's grace. That he is the one that is responsible for making sure that that is brought forth from God, so that people would understand. We also are now called to be stewards of God's grace. That we would not withhold it in and of ourselves and cloister ourselves and go, well, we've got it and we're good enough. But rather that we would go out into this world understanding that we are no different than what we would look at as people of the world. And see, this is the hard thing, because we start to think of this as an us versus them. It's not an us versus them. It is God for all of us. Because each sin that you find out in the world, you find within the church. We don't not necessarily like to think about that, because we like to think of ourselves as good and holy and nice. But if that was the case, Christ died for nothing. The sin that we think of is out there is here. Because sin is never far from us in this flesh. And we are even called into repentance today, that we would change. We would change our mind about who is saved and who Christ came for, and that we would understand that we are to bring this message to all people. Just as Jesus Christ came for all people. And then he goes on to say, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now it's interesting, because I've talked about this before too. This is a letter. This is something that was read out loud. And actually, it's kind of interesting that we do this with the Scripture. This letter would have been read from beginning to end to the congregation. And we take certain parts out of it and we dissect it. I'm not sure exactly why, but that's kind of the tradition that we've grown up in. And it's a dangerous thing, because what I read to begin with, we would never really understand why Paul says, for this reason, I am a prisoner of Christ. He's a prisoner of Christ because Christ came to abolish the separation between Jew and Gentile and to make God accessible to all people. And now he's a minister of this grace. And it wasn't made known to those in the past like it was in that time of the apostles. The Holy Spirit had an outpouring at that time, that people came to know Jesus Christ and God in a whole different way than they did in the Old Testament. And he says that this is really kind of a mystery. He said, this mystery is that the Gentiles are the fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You see, this was never possible as far as a good Jew is concerned. And unfortunately, sometimes we think of ourselves in this same light. And this is the point that I want to get across this morning, that Jesus Christ came for all people groups. even those we would look down upon, even our enemies. That forgiveness and that atonement that was paid on Calvary's cross is for the sin of the world. And we are to proclaim it as such, so that all people would come to realize that they are forgiven, that they would know, and they would receive that gift, and they would believe. And this is the gospel. I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to the light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. Now Paul here really sets down who he is. He calls himself the least of all the saints. And the reason that Paul does this in most cases is because Paul was a persecutor of the church. Paul was most zealous in making sure that Christians were beaten and sometimes killed because they believed in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ revealed Himself to him. And so sometimes we wonder, even in our of ourselves, well, maybe I've sinned too much. Maybe God can't forgive me. Paul is an example to each and every one of us how God can forgive and how God can use us, even though we think of ourselves as nothing. I dare say that none of you probably have started torturing and killing people because they believed in Jesus Christ. God has forgiven sin, even yours. Believe that to be true. And proclaim that mystery. Because it's such a hard thing for people to understand that we can be forgiven without doing anything for it. We all have a list that we want to follow. This is how we make it to heaven. This is what we do. No. The mystery of God is that He asks nothing of us except that we believe in His promise. That we understand that we are indeed forgiven by His Son's name and shed blood. And it all seems kind of foolish to us, actually. Well, God's got to want more than that. It doesn't make sense in a worldly sense. I got to work for this. God somehow has to expect these things of me. God knew who you were, knows who you are. He knew who Paul was. And when He revealed Himself to him and showed Himself to him, and Paul got it, it changed his life. Paul becomes the most influential person, as far as I can see, in his world of the day. He changes the face of Christianity, of Judaism. And he goes to all parts of the known world at the time and proclaims the message of Jesus Christ, and people believe through him. And he calls this the riches of God. This forgiveness a light to all people, just as was announced in his birth, and to bring to light to everyone the plan which is the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. You see, this really wasn't the stuff that God talked about within the New Testament. He hinted at it. But Jesus Christ is that mystery revealed, something that's much different from the Old Testament. That's why we call it new. That God would make known his grace. Not that he was out to punish the Gentiles, that he was going to punish sinners, but rather that he loved them and has forgiven them. And this is the mystery. So that we would know the wisdom of God, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. That everyone would know of this mystery. You see, this is really our calling. We're not to look at ourselves as better. We're not to look at ourselves as saints and the rest of the people are sinners. We are all sinners saved by grace. But there's a whole bunch of people in this world that don't know it yet. And our calling is to bring this message. To let them know that they too are forgiven. And this was according to the eternal purposes that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Meaning that we can go to God. We all can go to God. We all have access to God. You see, he's now referencing that in his time, the only way that you could get to God was to go to the temple. But right now, or at any place and at any time, you can boldly go before the Father, make your requests known. You can ask him to forgive you, or you can ask him for something and he hears you. You no longer have to go to a certain place or do a prescribed, this is how you do it. You go and you talk to the Father. As a child goes to his Father, a loving Father, and the Father wants to hear what the child has to say. This is who Christ revealed, or who Paul revealed to the Gentiles. And it's who we are to reveal to the world. A God of love. A God who is not out to get sinners. A God who has forgiven all people by the blood of his Son. And we now are stewards of that grace to bring this message, to proclaim this gospel, and to let people know that they too are included in the promise of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks that you have included us in your promises and that you have included all people. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to be stewards of this word, that we would go out into this world and we would teach, that we would proclaim, that, Father, we would just show love so people would come to know of your love for them. Father, work in and through us. Help us not to become conceited or to look down on others, but help us, Father, rather to look at ourselves as indeed sinners saved by grace, so that, Father, we would be good ministers to others. We thank you, Father, for this gospel. We thank you for your forgiveness through your Son. And we ask that you would work in our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit and through this word, that it would be revealed to us and through us that all people would come to know of your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask that we would now stand and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray with and for them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of your body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.